This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
James said, I love Clemson's ability to keep falling upwards. Oh, that's fantastic. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob, and the great one, Lonzo, with you. As we continue to break down the biggest scores and storylines from a spectacular football weekend. College football rivalry weekend has taken place, and it was interesting. I do want to get to some NFL news notes and storylines, but I've been wanting to get to this so big. I'm gonna take that title card down and switch to a different discussion here. I find this one very interesting, Lonzo. I'm gonna play you a clip from Todd McShay and his podcast regarding Ryan Day and the Buckeyes. And I would like your knee-jerk reaction to what Todd McShay says here. Action, Lonzo.
Did he expect him to participate? I'm just, should he have run over and jumped in and joined the melee?
I think the biggest problem, Ryan Day, let me say this, and then I'm going to get out of the way. The biggest problem that Ryan Day had in this scenario is the actions of other coaches. You had Steve Sarkisian, who actively stopped his players from doing the flag planting, and you had Mike Norvell, who ran straight to Billy Napier and demanded that he stop his players from doing it. And when Billy Napier didn't do that, Mike Norvell went over and grabbed the flag himself and threw it over to the sideline. Now, we can all fall in different places as to which of any of these reactions was the correct one. There will be a group of people who say the head coach cannot just get into the middle of the fracas. You're going to have a group who is going to say the head coach should have prevented it from happening in the first place. You're going to have a group that says the head coach should be in there grabbing flags and protecting the logo himself. What he's saying here is the fact that Ryan Day, apparently, whether it's true or not, perception is reality, didn't know any of this was even happening at the time is a bad look when piled on to the fact that he has now lost four consecutive to that other school.
By the way, this is not me defending Ryan Day because I'm not going to, except for the fact that how many angles of this thing have you seen?
Just the one.
And there's a good shot he didn't see it. I mean, the guy with the flag is meandering in and out, and he probably didn't see it.
So then, let's dial in on, because I'm actually going to agree with you on that.
I mean, if suddenly you look over and everybody's milling about, but you didn't see the original incident, the first thing you're going to say is, what's going on? And here's the other thing. That's what assistant coaches are for. To take care and handle that kind of stuff. It's not for him to take care of unless he was right there and he did it in front of him.
So then let us focus on what I think is the bigger angle to this story, and that is this. Four consecutive losses. As Lonzo has pointed out, he's what, one in five against Michigan?
He's 1-4, and he should be gone because he can't beat Michigan. But at the same time, who are they going to get? And... when you hire someone of course, the first thing you're going to say is, can you beat Michigan? And they're going to say, oh, yeah, I could beat Michigan. Okay. You know, two bad kicks. The person who will be gone, and I don't think Ryan Day will get fired, will be Chip. Chip will be gone. He is a scapegoat in this entire thing. He was running the offense, not Ryan Day. He was brought in to run the offense because Ryan Day wanted to deal with everything else. He had ran the offense in the past. Chip Kelly will be gone, and he will probably be the only one that gets fired.
So here's how I look at this. Which of these two teams would you rather be? Would you rather be the team that just knocked off your rival, but you are checking in at the end of the year at 7-5, seventh place in a conference that has at maximum four good teams in it? Would you rather be 7-5, so distantly removed from the playoffs that your name is not going to be mentioned again in 2024 until you kick off the Boise Potato Bowl? Or would you rather be Ohio State, a team that has two losses, one of them by a single point to the consensus number one team in the United States of America, lose your rivalry game, but is guaranteed going into the playoff, even if you're not playing for a division? I gotta think anybody that is not looking at this through a very emotionally tinted scarlet lens has got to be looking at this and saying, yeah, I'd rather be the Buckeyes than the Wolverines today. And if that is the response, I'm going right back to, how do you fire this guy that gets you in the playoffs all the time?
See, I don't know how, but I've told you several years ago that would be the narrative, and it was right away. And four in a row, it's unacceptable. But at the same time, have we gotten beyond that? Is that no longer the deal? You know, back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, that was the deal. Are we beyond that now? Is it national championship and bust or bust, and rivalry game is secondary? Because if they do, and you're guaranteeing they are, and I want to see it, if they make it into the playoffs and they do well, or if they win the whole thing, which they got into the playoffs before the very first four-team playoff, they weren't supposed to be in there, and they got in there, it was controversial, they won the whole thing. And the odds, the Vegas odds, which have been pointing out forever, they were the team that Vegas picked to win the whole thing. I'm sure it's changed now. But maybe it hasn't. Who knows how much it's dropped? If you win a national championship, you won the national championship. But still, like I said, my social media is full of people, friends back in Ohio that want him gone.
It again, I really genuinely, sincerely, entirely, and totally don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, yes, I know you want to beat the rival. I'm not a dummy, of course.
If you look at that game, why did they lose the game? They lost the game because Chip Kelly kept trying to run up the middle, which they could not do. They lost the game because Will Howard is not as good of a quarterback as Kyle McCord is. And they lost the game because the kicker missed two field goals. I mean, it wasn't like they shouldn't have won the game. They should have won the game. That kicker is pretty consistent, went wide right and wide left. And that basically cost them the game.
I am looking up the odds right now. Ohio State is tied with Georgia and Texas. The odds on favorite to win the Natty today is 3.5-1 Oregon. Georgia, Ohio State, and Texas are all plus 450, according to BetMGM. 4.5-1. The next closest team is Notre Dame at 9-1. So there is one team at 3.5-1. There are three teams at 4.5-1. And the next closest team, Notre Dame, has odds twice as long as you to get there. Now, every fan base has the right to judge their successes and their failures however they wish. And if your school has decided that knocking off Michigan is more important than being coached by a team who is consistently and repeatedly bringing you out of the arguably second best conference in college football, putting you in the playoffs, and giving the boys an opportunity to win natties, and you're going to run that guy out of town because of the results of your rivalry game. I know you want to beat M. I know you go around campus and block off every letter M on every building and every sign with a big red X. I get it. I'm passionate about college football and rivalry games too. But I'm simply going to say, if your rivalry game matters more than chances to win the natty, we just fundamentally disagree on the premise of college football. Now, I expect that sort of thought process, pattern, behavior if you are, I don't know, a team that's hovering in the bottom of the Big Ten. If you're Michigan State, if you're Wisconsin, if you're Maryland, if you are Purdue, and you are hanging out at the bottom of the Big Ten, then yes, I get why your objectives, your goals, your expectations would be a little bit lower than Ohio State's. But this is a team that has been competing, it feels like, in every playoff since the playoffs. At this point, your objectives, your goals are higher than that. And I get you want to beat M Go Blue. And I get it's a priority. It should be. It should be an objective to beat your rival. But I cannot understand why you would let a guy go who routinely puts you in a position to go and win natties because of four losses to Michigan.
I will say, in the deepest dark part of my soul, where that fan that's just fanatical beyond belief.
And it is a deep, dark soul.
That part of me gets it about him being gone, but then there's the other part of me that believes that national championships are more important. And I believe last year's loss was worse than this year's loss, because last year's loss resulted in Michigan making the four-team playoff and winning the national championship. This year, Michigan's not going anywhere. So this year's loss is not as bad as last year's loss, except for the expectations this year. No, they're not. They're not even more. Ohio State was in the same position last year as they are this year. And they're usually in that position, going in ranked in the top five and then losing to Michigan.
So then let's simplify this.
I want to win a national championship.
Yes.
I don't know that they can with Chip Kelly calling plays and Will Howard at quarterback.
Put it this way. There's no world.
You know, I'd be going around campus and finding if there's a soccer player that can actually kick a field goal too.
There's no world where Lonzo or any other Buckeye fan are going to say, you know what? Although I think you did say this last year. There's no world that you are going to say, well, we lost to Michigan, so who gives a rat's patoot about the playoffs? You are going to be,
I don't
when
think
you
I did,
guys
but if I
up,
did, I was wrong.
You
so
did.
Again, show me some tape.
You All said right, at some point, if we don't beat Michigan, we don't deserve a playoff.
Here's one thing I try not to do, and I very rarely do, and that's say we. Because I am not on that team.
Okay.
I do love that team, and I root for that team. But if I have said, and I'll say again, I understand the thought process about if you can't beat Michigan, you should be gone. I grew up in the shadows of Ohio State. I know how that feels. I understand the mentality. But in the end, the national championship is the most important thing, even more important than the Big Ten championship. The national championship is more important. And I wonder if mentality, to a degree, has changed for some people to where they're no longer, we got to beat them or the season's over, because the season probably is not over.
It's not, right? No, I don't disagree. I do agree Back in the olden days when a loss in rivalry weekend not just set you down the rankings, but a loss in rivalry weekend more often than not meant you were not going to win a national championship this year. Well, it's one thing to get bounced in week 15. It's another thing to get bounced in week 15 with a loss to the rival, because not only are you now out of the hunt for a natty, but you're out of the hunt for a natty, and for a year, those guys get to hang over your head that they're the reason that you are out of it.
Here's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see Ohio State win the national championship. I do. Let me finish the part. I don't want to see them win the national championship and those guys who say that he should be gone because of Michigan, I don't want to see them celebrating the national championship, because you just said that that's more important. So to you, the season's over. To me, it's not. It continues if they get in. And until I see it, I don't believe it.
I'll tell you right now, Ohio State's in.
They should be.
They absolutely should be.
They've lost by a total of 4 points, period, the two games that they lost.
Yep.
Combined.
I got no problem, and for the record, I got no problem with Ohio State being in, okay? I will tell you that one of the biases I live with is that the reason we love rivalry weekend, aside from our own rivalries, is that we know some chaotic bull bleep is going to happen somewhere. And it's interesting, and it's dramatic, and it's entertaining. And it just happened to be that this year, the interesting, entertaining, dramatic bull bleep that happened was an unranked, nearly 500 Michigan team knocked off what was supposed to be a college football juggernaut this year. I'm just going to say this. If Ohio State fires Ryan Day over this L, if Ryan Day is unemployed at the end of this season, not only will I consider it one of the silliest moves in the history of college football, but it will officially be the Buckeyes declaring one of two things. Either A, the front office actually does believe that beating Michigan is more important than winning national championships, or B, that the front office is going to allow the attitude of fans to dictate their decision-making process. Neither one of those things are good. Neither one of those things are good.
I think it more comes down to donors and guys like that, not just the average fan, but people who are uppity and have the money to go, you know what, we're going to withhold funds if you don't get rid of this guy.
I mean, again, it's still fans dictating the direction. Maybe completely justifiable.
Which happens at probably all schools. Yeah.
All the time. It's that you wouldn't be unique or alone in that. But I think if I was a fan who was not one of those boosters, I'd be pretty ticked off about it. If this man gets fired, despite bringing to the Ohio State Buckeyes to the playoffs again, if this man gets fired, I will be at a point where it will be difficult for me, despite my manly love and affection for the great one. It'd be very hard for me not to root against the Buckeyes to make the playoffs for at least 3 or 4 years to teach them a lesson. Because sometimes the only way people learn is to get slapped in the mouth. Let's take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Continue in the world of college football here for just a minute. Do you happen to have that clip still, great one, that you were just listening to by chance?
Yeah, that's still.
I would like to play that real quick if you don't
mind. Okay, there's no real quick. It's 2 minutes and 20.
Let's just get through the part, if you don't mind screening it, up to the part where he said what Michigan needed to do, in my opinion, to win.
Well, that was at the beginning, wasn't it?
Perfect.
Yeah, I just
tell you what. Let's okay. play an abbreviated version of Hold Up. I want to play a clip. That was Feinbaum, was it not?
No, it's Josh Pate.
Josh Pate. Okay, sorry. I only heard like a couple seconds of it when I walked into the room. I'd like to play an abbreviated version of Hold Up. Hold Up, the game where we play some audio, and then at any point we want to break in and say anything, you simply say, Hold Up, and you pause the audio. Josh Pate's take, because I do think this is appropriate for the conversation about Ryan Day. I think it's appropriate for a conversation about James Franklin. I think it's appropriate for a conversation about Mike Norvell. I think it's appropriate for a conversation about Dabo Swinney and Shane Beamer. To be frank with you, here is Josh Pate's take on Michigan beating Ohio State. All right, hold up. Let's stop it right there. So he goes on to use Greg Maddux as example and say, you know, Greg Maddux was never a guy that was trying to strike you out. That was a dude that was throwing 88 when everybody else was throwing 98. And if you're a batter and you're seeing pitches at 88 and that's the best heat you're getting, sometimes you get to a point where you think you're getting gravy, right? Sometimes you get to a point where you're like, golly, I can hit 98, and here's this cat up here throwing 88. And so you sink into overconfidence. You sink into thinking, I'm taking this clown deep. And that's why Greg Maddux was never a strikeout guy. That was why Maddux was a pitch to contact guy, because he knew if he could get you swinging for the fences because you thought, well, I can pop a 98, so I can certainly hit an 88, then not only could he get you to hit the ball, he could get you to hit the ball where he wanted you to hit the ball. So he'd throw a shift on, throw an extra defender towards the gap you were likely to hit the ball to if you got contact and it didn't fly into another universe. He got you to do what he wanted you to do. And when he got you to do what he wanted you to do, he owned you. And that's kind of the Josh Pate thought on Michigan Ohio State, that Ohio State has come into this game the last couple of years. And I really don't think this is all that bad of a take. Come into it the last couple of years, maybe a little overconfident. And why wouldn't they be? What were you guys, 21-point favorites coming into this game?
Yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah, 21-point favorites. And so the thought in this case might be, oh, we just gotta roll the silver helmet out there, and these Wolverines are going to roll over, versus Michigan, who entered this game knowing we're a 21-point dog. Nobody believes we're going to win this game. Not only a 21-point dog, but a 21-point dog, and like 90% of the money was coming in on Ohio State to cover the game. This is one of those games that I woke up on Sunday morning and I was like, why didn't I bet on this game? Why did I not put $1,000 on Michigan to cover 21? It should have seemed obvious to me, but it wasn't, because I fell for it. Going on to the coaching angle of this, if you wanted to fire Ryan Day, your argument here has got to be that this team repeatedly enters the last week of the season, repeatedly enters this rivalry game mentally unsolidified. So this is four in a row. Mentally unsolidified. You have entered this game now four times with a mentality, whether it is the mentality that all we got to do is be us and that's enough, or Michigan's not that good, or whatever the mentality is, there is a mentality around this team entering this game that has cost you dramatically the last 4 years, and the opposite is true with the Michigan Wolverines. Now,
do you think Michigan is a trap game for Ohio State? Because every time they get there, just about every time they get there, they are looking ahead towards what comes next, a Big Ten title game, a chance at the national championship. Has this become a trap game for them because they're looking ahead?
I mean, if they have the mentality that I was talking about a moment ago, if they have the mentality of, we are so much better than these clowns that all we have to do is roll the silver hats out there and they're going to lay down, then yeah, that's definition of the trap game, right? That's the definition of the trap game. So very possibly so. And, you know, if that happens once, you can chalk it up to a fluke. And I know I almost sound like I'm going the opposite direction of what I just said in the last segment, which is if you fire this guy after he has led you to the playoffs way more often than he hasn't, if you fire this guy, I will, even at the risk of Lonzo's love and adoration of me, I will have a hard time saying anything nice about the Buckeyes moving forward. I think that would be a silly, silly decision to make. Now, I would look at this and say, I would have a conversation with Ryan Day about it. And I would say, hey, man, I would talk to the players. What happened here? What happened here? Because let's keep it a buck. Michigan, with, by the way, a walk-on quarterback, just beat you. And I would have a end-of-season exit interview with the players and say, what was the mentality of this team going into the game? Because I'll tell you right now, mentality to me is a huge part of it. It's a huge part of it. And there are other coaches that I would use as an example. I don't have to go any further than a couple of hours to the east to Columbia, South Carolina, and point out one Shane Beamer. Southeast. 2 hours in that direction and talk to Shane Beamer. Because I think, if you couldn't see it at the end of that contest, I think it is pretty evident that that football team in Garnet and Black has taken on the mentality of its head coach. They have adopted the mentality of the head coach. We're going to have fun. We're going to be disciplined but loose. We're gonna enjoy playing football. When we score, when we get a pick, there's a video of Shane Beamer on the sideline. They've got the camera pointed at his back when Demetrius Knight picks that ball off to end the game. Shane Beamer is stride for stride with his defensive players that are running down to the other end of the football field to celebrate the dub. I mean, holding the headset, and my man is sprinting like there's a gold medal and a podium waiting for him on the other side. That is just the mentality of Shane Beamer. And this team has taken on that mentality. I look at Mike Norvell down at Florida State, 2-10, just got embarrassed by their rivals on their home field as well. I look at that setup and I go, I got to tell you, and watching the press conferences and listening to the podcast and the interviews that Norvell has done this year, I think after going 13-0 last year, I think Mike Norvell kind of adopted this mentality of bleep that, we'll just do it again. And almost expected that they were now the permanent kings of the Atlantic Coast Conference. And that getting back to an ACC title game was granted, was just a given. And I think the team adopted that mentality. And by the time that they realized that, yeah, maybe you are one of the best teams on paper in the conference, you still got to go out there and bust your ass. You still got to go out there and play. And by the time that they came to that conclusion, it was too late. They had lost 3 games in a row. The ACC title game was a fever dream at that point. And I think the team broke. And I think it broke because it adopted the mentality of Mike Norvell. So no, I would not fire Ryan Day. But I would absolutely say that from this point forward, whether I'm Ohio State University or any of the other universities that will relieve a coach of their duty, and I do believe that this extends to the National Football League as well. What I am looking for in a head coach from this point forward is a willingness and a massive understanding of how college football looks in the NIL and transfer portal era. And I am looking for a guy that players are going to fight to emulate. Fran Brown at Syracuse is one of those guys. Miami under Mario Cristobal is not. And I think I think you can see that. So I would be concerned about that if I was a Buckeye fan. Enough to get rid of a guy who keeps taking me to the playoffs? No. But I do think it is something you will see become much more prevalent in head coaching hires at the college level moving forward. Back after this to wrap up the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So one more bit of a drama that took place around the college football universe this weekend. The Penn State Nittany Lions were in competition this past weekend against the Maryland Terrapins. Fear the turtle. Turtle not so fearful. 44-7, your final in this one. Maryland scored in the opening frame and never found the scoreboard again after that. The same cannot be said about the Penn State Nittany Lions, who scored 13 points in the fourth quarter after putting up a 28 spot. It was 30-7 at the half. Well, late in the game, like in the fourth quarter, when the Nittany Lions were up by a lot of the points, most of the points, to be honest, at this point, James Franklin sent in his reserve units, his threes and his fours. And the three and the fours, with just seconds left to play in the football contest, ended up scoring a touchdown. With, as a matter of fact, time expiring. This year, Denmark got a 15-yard pass from Bo Pribula. Four play, 13-yard, 1 minute and 4 second drive that ended with Penn State sticking six more up on the board and making it a 44-7 game. Pardon me. Well, at the conclusion of the game, the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins, Mike Locksley, he was not particularly thrilled with James Franklin's Penn State Nittany Lions. And there was a very awkward moment during the two coaches' handshakes. Mike Locksley did the old grab and pull number, you know, where like the dude who wants to show how alpha bro he is grabs you in the handshake and he pulls you into his chest and locks you up with the other arm.
This is why I don't shake your hand, because that hurts when you do that stuff.
Well, you have to assert dominance. All right? Assert your dominance via the handshake. Mike Locksley pulled James Franklin in and gave him an old stern talking to. And James Franklin was asked about it at the conclusion of the game in the press conference, that awkward little moment, and here's what James Franklin had to say. Hell yeah! Love that clip. W, I'm good with it, and anybody who's not, that's their problem. What a bar from James Franklin on the way out.
Dabo used to use that excuse all the time. Not excuse, but reason, and I believe Steve Spurrier has used it. I mean, if you don't like it, stop it. And if you can't stop it, that's on you and your team.
That's very much the camp I find myself in. Here's what I've said for a very long time. If you are down by all the points and you do not want the other team trying to score more of the points, then you better not go out there and score touchdowns or try to score touchdowns, right? Like, you better not go out there. If you're going to send your ones out there down 38-7, whatever it was. If you're going to send your ones out there and try to score touchdowns, don't expect me to do anything other than let my depth guys go out there and score touchdowns.
Yeah, if our threes and fours are doing that to your ones, maybe you need to recruit better or get a better NIL collective, something.
I mean, listen, it's Maryland. It ain't exactly a football powerhouse. There are some universities that have to accept that if they ever want to get to the level that they are a football powerhouse, it takes a pretty big commitment. It's going to lock up a lot of your resources. It is going to happen to the detriment of other programs, of other athletes, et cetera, et cetera. But on a game day, on a Saturday, when Penn State is taking on Maryland, if I am throwing my threes against your ones and my threes are succeeding, I don't know what you want me to do. I mean, I guess in that spot, they could have just run the ball, and let Maryland call no timeouts to kill off the clock. But as James Franklin just said, I promise you, he cares more about the threes and fours on his team. The guys that you will never hear their name. They're not going to the NFL. They are only going to play on Saturdays if the starters go out there and build up a 30-point lead. And they're only going to play for a couple of minutes at the end of a game. So I got no problem with James Franklin putting the boys out there. I got no problem with telling them, I want you to go play football the way you'd be playing football if you were a starter. None at all. I would go so far as to say that the things he said at the end of that take are good as well. Your resume matters quite a bit. If James Franklin and the Nittany Lions, who are in the Big Ten championship game against the Oregon Ducks, if they do not win this game and they lose out on the bye, we have talked about this in the past couple of weeks. I really want to be checked in at that five spot. Don't you? Like, I really want to be checked in. Somebody did the breakdown last night of whether or not it would be better to be the five seed or to be the one seed right now. Because if you are the five seed, yeah, you've got to play one additional game. Sure. You've got to play one additional game, and that's rough. But it is one additional game against the 12 seed, which is going to either be like the Mountain West Conference champion, or it's going to be like the 13th, 14th, 15th ranked team in America. But if you win that game, your next game is likely to end up being against one of the lower seeded teams that did catch a bye. Versus if you are the one seed, you are likely going to catch the winner of the 8-9 game. Do you know who the winner of the 8-9 game right now would be, theoretically? Georgia and Tennessee. I'd rather be the five seed. So if I'm James Franklin, I am absolutely fighting for seeding right now. And part of that is by impressing with the resume. part of impressing with the resume is point differential. It's certainly point differential in conference. This was not a ranked game, but it's point differential by ranked games. And that statement we told you about earlier in the show from Lane Kiffin, he leans heavy on point differential. He says, look, if you look at the common opponents that we both played, Ole Miss scored more and gave up less than Alabama did. That is part of the reason we deserve to go ahead of the Tide. And I'm not going to fight him on that. I'm not going to push him back. It's absolutely a valid metric that he can use. What I will say is, if you are in that spot, if you are Penn State, you go score some damn points. You make that resume look as impressive as you can. And I get what Mike Locksley is saying. I can't imagine it is fun to send the boys out there to get whipped like that and to watch that team walk you off with an extra tutty. But man, it's football, dude. It's football. Relax.
R-E-L-A-X, relax.
That's what Frankie says.
I was thinking somebody else, but the first thing that's X-ing today is Cyber Monday.
It is Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday, of course, the Black Friday for introverts. The Black Friday for people who hate shopping malls. The Black Friday for people who hate people is now, today, this day. I will tell you.
My favorite day of the year.
I will tell you, one of the things that I've done over the past couple of years is I love to keep track of the prices of things that I am looking at on like 2 weeks out from Black Friday and Cyber Monday and see what they do. Because like a lot of stores, what they do, great one, is they slowly raise the price through October into November, right? So what is a $10 widget? By mid-November is a $15 widget, and then on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, it's a $9 widget. They're like, look at this deal, 15 down to 9. Hey, they're really giving you a dollar off. What I will say is support local businesses. Support local businesses that are not taking advantage of you. Greenville Triumph having a 50% off sale on their website right now. Support local sports.
I think there's, isn't there the Tuesday, like tomorrow is like a local business day?
Yeah, it's called Business Tuesday, yeah, or local business, yeah. Tuesday.
You don't have to wait till tomorrow to do that. You can do that today.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, the next thing it's asking is Skeleton Crew.
Does it have anything to do with last night's football game?
No. It is a Disney show, Star Wars.
Oh, no, I saw this.
And it drops today at 9 o'clock.
I saw this.
First two episodes.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Goonies
and it's got Star Wars. What's his face in it? Jude Law.
Jude Law.
Yeah. Jude Law's pretty. He's a pretty man.
He's a lovely man.
Yeah,
All right,
guy.
Next thing that's X-ing is, staying in Hollywood, is Kraven the Hunter.
How do we feel about this one, Lonzo?
We feel that they keep pushing it off and pushing it off. They have done something else today, though, because they're trying to change the narrative that was put out there by their first trailers, that it is, he's basically a member of PETA. And the first 8 minutes of the movie has been released.
Really?
Just about 5 minutes ago. So you can watch the first 8 minutes on like a ton of websites. So it's legit. So
I have two takes. Number one, the whole he's a member of PETA thing. You understand that the overwhelming majority of hunters are conservationists.
Yeah.
People who hunt take better care of the land than people who don't. All right. So I don't have an issue with him being an animal advocate.
Time for all that. I just was.
Oh, I know. But the game is react. I'm reacting. Number two, I thought I saw a trailer. You may be able to confirm it or not. Great one. I thought I saw a trailer in which Kraven very clearly either shoots or stabs a dude in the head, and you get a pretty clear but very brief exploding of the back of the head in the trailer.
It's supposed to be one of the bloodiest movies of its type to date.
It kind
of
has to be, right? Yeah. Like, if it's not, then it's not Kraven. That's what made Kraven terrifying. Not only Excellent Hunter, but like, He's taking you down. I'm actually kind of excited. I really enjoyed Kraven.
I usually don't do this, but I was going to go see the movie anyway, but I may watch that first 8 minutes just to find out. The next thing that's X-ing is Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel's going to be the next head coach of the somebody. Got to be the Chicago Bears. Vrabel and the Bears would be a perfect fit, right?
That's not
like perfect fit. Oh, Did he say give up his ding-dong for another Super Bowl?
No, because Buckeyes fans want him to be the next coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That's a good fit, too.
They would at least have the mentality to beat Michigan. Don't know that they would, but they still would have the mentality for it.
That's a really good fit.
And finally, the last thing that's texting, I was going to say Josh Allen, but he got engaged.
Josh Allen.
He got engaged, but I'm going to go with this. I Love You Solo is trending.
Can we talk about how Solo Sikoa has become one of the most improved wrestlers on the roster?
He also just lost. So, I mean,
yeah, well, I know, but like, you're telling me you haven't seen all the house show clips going around of him being absolutely hilarious?
Yeah, he's great, but still Jacob Fatu.
The werewolf.
I Love You Solo.
I'm actually going home to watch War Games today. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, sounds like a you problem. Come back tomorrow. We'll try again and do better. Rob Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show. See you back here tomorrow on the Fan Upstate.